International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, is a movement meant for the spiritual rejuvenation of the entire world. The world is afflicted with many serious problems today. No one is happy. The Vedic scriptures of ancient India explain that this is due to a lack of proper understanding and practice of spiritual values. ISKCON's aim is to fill this gap by encouraging, educating and providing facility for the people of this world to become truly God-conscious. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, founded ISKCON in 1966 in New York, USA. In a short span of 12 years, he oversaw the setting up of more than 100 temples, farms, schools and special projects throughout the world. His most significant contribution, however, are his books. He authored more than 60 volumes of authoritative translations, commentaries, and expositions of the ancient philosophical and religious classics of India. Use only what you can produce and produce only what you need. This is Srila Prabhupada's simple yet profound articulation of the principle of self-sufficiency. The Acharya desired ISKCON to set up self-sufficient, Krishna-conscious farm communities to demonstrate the principle of simple living and high thinking. He intended such communities to be beacon lights for a society moving rapidly into the artificial and destructive lifestyles. The project Gokul Dham is envisioned to be one such community of ISKCON that will attempt to create an ideal, self-sufficient Vedic eco-village with Lord Krishna at its center. The objective of this Vedic village will be to please the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and develop pure love for Him. The village will be built in total harmony with nature in the thick rainy forest of Sayadri Hills, located about 40 kilometers from Belgaum near the Karnataka-Goa border. The village will be spread over an area of 500 acres and will be totally self-sufficient in fulfilling its requirements. The residents of Gokul Dham will follow a strong spiritual program of hearing and chanting the holy names, glories and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, of worship and study, and various other forms of services. Festivals connected with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, will be celebrated with fervor and devotion. Gokul Dham will strive to create a spiritual atmosphere where people experience divine bliss and make advancements in their spiritual life. To follow the Vedic principles of self-sufficiency, Gokul Dham will avoid the use of electricity, cement, plastic, modern household gadgets like mixers, televisions, motorized vehicles, and indeed anything that is a product of the modern industrial setup for which it will have to depend on the community. Instead, Gokul Dham will attempt to revive various forms of traditional technologies to meet its simple requirements. Some of the major projects within Gokul Dham that will be undertaken to implement the Vedic model are organic farming, where cultivation will be undertaken without the use of chemical fertilizers, pesticides, machinery like tractors, tillers, hybrid seeds, etc. Oil farming will be done using natural materials like compost and organic fertilizers. Organic farming will include agriculture, horticulture, floriculture, medicinal herbs, spices, etc. Gokul Dham will provide a safe shelter for cows and goats. Cows will also fulfill the requirements of milk and milk products. Bullocks will be engaged in plowing and other activities like making jaggery from sugarcane, oil from oil seeds, etc. They will also be used for transportation. To ensure steady availability of water throughout the year, Gokul Dham will implement watershed management through tanks, wells, and micro dams. water will be replenished through afforestation and contour bunding. Water lifting and transportation will go through traditional means and will avoid the use of electric pumps and motors. Rainwater will also be harvested for domestic use. Cottage industries in Gokuldam will supply the needs of the community and will be a source of employment and income for the community. The cottage industries proposed for Gokuldam include honey, milk products, carpentry and blacksmith, pottery, jaggery, ahimsa silk production, khadi clothing, handmade paper, bamboo products, etc. All construction work at Gokuldam will be undertaken using only locally available natural material like mud, stone, wood, straw, cow dung, lime and mortar. Apart from these projects, Gokuldam will also have its own school, a simple retreat center for seminars and courses, a simple temple for Lord Krishna, housing colony for residents and brahmacharis or student ashrams. At Gokuldam, village outreach programs will be conducted with the objective of creating economic, social, cultural and spiritual transformation. These programs will encompass the surrounding villages and will disperse knowledge of how these projects implemented at Gokuldam can be similarly implemented at the village level. Gokuldam, a Vedic and eco-village project of ISKCON, will only be possible with the generous contributions from not just its devotees, but also from those interested in promoting a pure, simple and self-sufficient way of living. As an individual or as an organization, there are many ways in which you can help us make Gokuldam a reality. To know more about Gokuldam and how you can contribute, please feel free to contact us at the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, number 211, Shukrawar Pet, Tilakwadi, Belgaum, 590006, Karnataka, India. Our telephone numbers are 0831-240-0108 or 243-3433. You can also email us at iskonbgm@pamgo.com.
A lot of things have changed. Including the email 5 years ago. Four years ago. Yeah, things have changed, numbers have changed, phone numbers have changed. And the houses that you saw there were built with bamboo and mud and wood and things like that. So should we show the other ones?
Yes.
Should I show you the ones, the things that have happened off late? Yes.
Who's the leader of this
community? Devamrita.
Devamrita
Prabhu or Bharat? Devamrita Prabhu. Actually, it's Prabhu.
He's a man on the chain.
Yeah. Devamrita is.
You have 500 acres there now?
We already have 200 and. Yeah, almost. We are in possession of 500 acres. Legally, more than 250, but 30, 40 acres in Wisconsin.
How many divorces are
there? 25.
How many?
25.
How many cows and bullocks?
Total about, we have 35,000 bulls, 14 bulls, or 15 bulls, 7 bulls.
Are you going over those?
Occasionally. Occasionally when there have some major development in work. Yes. Right now we have to develop it to something because we don't have things going on here.
What is with the night light? It's oil? Or?
We don't use electricity. We use oil.
They go to bed early.
Because
Viraj.
I recently went there.
Well, what he wants me to explain is that we have in this property, we have two parts to it. One is an inner part, which is within the jungle, and the outer part, which is closer to the road. And this is accessible by bus and other portable communication. This other, the first part, which is close to the road, is about 14 acres, 30 to 12 acres of land, on which is like an experimental plot, in which we learn how to live. Basically, begin to start learning how to live. And then the inside property is where we will implement what we have learned. So this other part is actually called Viraja, and the inside property is called Gokuldham. So the Viraja, we do use a bit of, when we're learning, we're using different kinds of things which we're learning to give up. For example, when we first came, we didn't know a lot of things to do. For example, what you saw in the documentary were pictures of bamboo houses. Actually, when we first went there, we didn't have a roof on top. We just went to the jungle, cleaned up, and then pitched tents and started living there. Then wild bears would walk past us and different things like that. And then we didn't have a roof on top. We just let the open boxes outside. And slowly, we kind of started looking for people to build our huts. We didn't find anyone. Then we started building up on our own. And then those buildings, the first buildings we built was in 2004. They lasted about 2006, 2007. Our hut, Brahmachari hut, which was there, which we built with bamboo and straw, got burnt. Got gutted because we don't know how to use fire in the house, inside the house, so we grew over with it. Somehow survived.
Learning the hard way.
And then when the cows once went out to graze, the whole goshala collapsed. These are our failures that we had. So, of course, we rebuilt it in 4 days because it's basically the wood and bamboo and things like that. So, now I will show you something. We go very fast about, and I'll show you certain things that we've done off late. So, our goshala was finished and our ashram was also gone. So we have to rebuild it. Last year we rebuilt it. So the Sajjaku was there in the beginning to rebuild, right? So, you know, I don't think you've seen this part of it. He came and stayed there. It was pretty austere at that time. These are our cows. They belong to the Tharparkar breed. I would say they are 100% pure. They are to 70-80-90% pure breed Tharparkar cows. They are adjusting well even though they have a bright smell. This is part of the village, initial base. I just tell you that some of these bulls and cows actually came from the project which was taken up in Daun by Shishirada Gopinath's temple. And half of the cows, when they closed down that farm, half of the cows came to us and half they came to the other. Yeah. So, continue. This is part of the scenery. I didn't have a time to sort out all these things because I don't have electricity there. Someone gave me these pictures. This is door right here. This is our first temple that we built there, first structure that we started building. This was our first temple. And besides it was the our kitchen. And this is the place people have to guard their farm stables, part of the edge. These were the first structures that we built, first three structures that we built. The one on ties was the kitchen, inside two were. One was the temple and the other was the Brahma Jaya Ashram. Yes, continue. Yes, so this was it. This was the structure. These were our deities and our altar made in mud. This was some Gore who worked here. Our deities who should die Gore. Yes, continue. So, that was going on to graze. They grew about 10 kilometers of walking every day, grazing. Keep very healthy developers.
Do you have a river?
There are springs, yes.
It looks dry there.
We get 7 meters of rainfall in 4 months. But the rest of the year it is rain. These are books we just put in our natural leaves. Reading, we have stopped the reading now. We no longer reading. We have to control our heart right now. And go beyond it. Please go, we can go faster. Yeah, these are the beliefs, old beliefs that we started with. These were the Goshalas. The previous one that we started was the Goshalas. This is part of the same reading. It's a nearby village where they grow rice. We tried growing rice for the first 3 years. Yeah, we didn't do very well. Because our land was basically, we have a horse also to help us go around in the land. Basically to take care of the different aspects of it. This is our breeding goal. This is the Goshalas that we have. So these are all mud and dam Goshalas. Now, we can start this thing, go to the other part. This is what has happened in the last. So, what you saw was about taken in 2004. Now, after the breakup of our Goshala, so there was the first time when we started being there, we started preparing different items from, after learning from different places, different items for from the cow urine and the cow dung. And so now we have about 25 items in manufacture there. And there's a little demand for it, people like it very much. These are our little Goshalas. Old structures, very flimsy.
Is this funding? Where do you get funding from?
The Raman Prabhu had arranged, I mean, he had preached to some devotees, and they have a business of, from which 50% comes to this place every month. Not much, about 20,000 rupees a month.
These structures are next to
which ones?
Kind of spares and all.
No, they are made by local people for.
This is your land?
No, this is not. This is from a local area. This is how they build terraces in that area.
Rainwater.
These are actually rice fields.
Do you have terraceable land?
We're beginning to. Yes, continue. These are our cows. We have, as we're going with the cows, I'll just tell you, this is another failure that we have. We have a lot of tick problem because we send our cows into the jungle. There are plenty of ticks on the body. And if you're taking care of them, like someone was mentioning yesterday, you can sleep with the cows, you can be filled with ticks. So we never try to do that. If you try to sleep with the cows, you do. We got plenty of ticks.
Camphor and coconut.
Sorry?
Camphor and coconut.
You know how expensive it is? To put it in one cow, we have 35. So these are some pictures of it. So there are other, of course, alternatives. We're trying out something and trying. But definitely, because in the jungle there's a lot of ticks around, there's a lot of other wild animals. So this is another failure. I don't think, I shouldn't say we're a success story all the way. There are a lot of failures. We don't have a water source. We have to go to the nearby village for water. This is our old Brahmachari ashram, which got burnt. This was our old temple inside.
How far are you carrying water?
About 500 meters. Oh, sorry, 100 meters. 100 meters. We don't have pumps, so we have to carry our own water, drinking water, filling water. This is how we keep our pools in the summer.
What about mosquitoes?
Very few, hardly. Maybe in one season for a few days, and then a few mosquitoes. Then you burn cow dung cakes. So this was I think in the old pictures that we had. This is farming going on. We just beginning to level land. This actually the plantation, the 14 acre that we started living on. This was actually originally a eucalyptus plantation. So the soil is actually completely denuded and depleted and very bad. So it's been taking us 3 years to actually develop something out of it and start growing. All this was eucalyptus plantation. We took them all out. This was our initial attempt. We built with bamboo. We used a lot of bamboo, but we are now afraid of using bamboo.
Fire.
Not fire, because it doesn't last very long. We have to season the bamboo. If we have bamboo growing, we've planted bamboo, but it will take us time before we actually clean it, harvest it. It takes fire. And then also, there are a lot of wild animals, so they're eating up the bamboo, they're not letting the shoots grow up. So, yeah.
No risk to the cows.
Sorry?
No risk to the cows of the wild animals.
No, we take care, we have a man all the time with the cows, and they come back in. Now we've built a much better structure for the cows.
Without pasture,
yeah, there's a man always with, yeah, both with the bulls and the cows. And cows who come there, who come at night. But the leopards are there who could attack young cows, so we always have some. This is our latest Gomshala, the latest calf. It's born on the 8th, 9th of February.
This is the second day photograph?
Sorry?
This is the second day photograph?
Yeah. This is the recent structures that we have come up with.
No, I mean,
cow
was originally.
Yes. This is the structure that we have now.
The tile?
Handmade cup tiles?
These cup tiles?
Yes. And that ashram that we built was about 3,000 square feet of ashram, and the goshala is about 30 by 50, two goshalas in each.
Yeah. Is that a bamboo frame for the tile?
No,
it's wood.
Both the goshala. The goshala is not built with mud, it's built with lime, stone mortar, and that's right, stone mortar. This is what we started with. Since we're not going to use cement, we started using limestone, and we make our own cement on the site.
So it's to crush the limestone?
Yes. Basically, you have to make calcium silicate. But this lasts longer than cement, anyways. That's for hundreds of thousands.
Do you have to put it through a kiln?
No. You can use the lime powder, which is left over from the kiln, or you can use direct stone from the limestone and put them in the water, whichever is available for you. The grass that you see mostly comes from our land. This is how we started building the Brahmachari Ashram again, rebuilding, with about 46,000 bricks that we made handmade on site in about 4 or 5 months. So this is how the buildings came about. The foundations have been laid with stones from the area, carted all of them. This is our whole structure. This is our whole kitchen. This is how we cook there. Distillation units, we moved them out of there because of mass production, need for mass production, they need to use some water facility, and we don't want to use our facility. So we moved them out.
Who's creating the ideology?
No, I didn't say the long So this is what we have made now. After about 6 months of work with all the devotees, this is our temple and the altar now that you see.
Space bar.
All
built in
mud and wood on the altar. Yes. This is some of the decorations we've just got two hand looms inside there, and now we've Akhilidharpa is. He's got one gumcha from our place, so he's carrying it around. This is trial run that we did with this handle.
Are you making your own bed?
We're beginning. I know how to do it, but we have enough production to.
Flax or cotton?
Cotton. This is not cotton. Cotton grows better in the area. Yes, next.
Oh, yeah.
This is the interiors of the gentleman. Go ahead. This is our kitchen, new kitchen. Go ahead. Construction again. This is the present goshala. You see left, right, and
the left, right, are you digging out locally?
It's available on our land. We have two looms of left, right. This is the altar. This is also made in mud. Yeah. And this is the charkha that you're asking about. This is in my room. I have my own charkha. This is the other charkha. In our own thread. And this is the other part of it. We've started some. This is we've done the pond used for water percolation. And this is our. This last year we got a crop of millets, finger millets, from about less than 1 acre of land with about 300 to 400 kilos of ragi. We're growing our own vegetables right now. If we protect it from the monkeys, we get enough vegetables every day. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. Using hybrid seeds?
Sorry? Hybrid seeds? No, we
don't
use
no protection for the plants.
Protection?
Oh, you protect the plants.
Oh, herbicide, you mean?
Herbicide.
You don't need herbicides if you grow your own corn. And cow milk. Yes, it's strong enough. Yeah, this is, we make our own atta inside the campus, inside the house. Yes. This is, he's making ragi powder for making roti. This is the oil, honey, we started using our own, crush our own oil seeds and get our own oil, so we don't use contaminated oil. And we make roti, bhakri, or whatever. This is planting of oil seeds called kusba, sumba, safflower. Yes, true.
What is ragi?
Ragi is finger millet.
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 Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks.
It's a very inspiring project down there in Karnataka.
And a lot of things you didn't mention. Like they've been studying so many things also. I mean, this is just what they're implementing. Then they have all the things that they have been accumulating knowledge. They have a library of about 500 books on village technology, and it's probably the closest to the goal that I've seen myself that they have achieved.
So now we're going to see from Antiraga Maharaj, these are Indonesian projects?
We'll begin with Indonesia.
Okay.
This has to be plugged.
This is an assortment of various photos. This was taken in the year 2005. This is on the island of Sumatra, a project which was started in 1999. We have acquired at that time 150 acres of land. We have about 200 now. And we started with three brahmacharis living on the land. At present we have 30 families with a population of about 100 devotees, half of them actually being children, quite a large number of children. We have our own school. So I'm just going to go through these photos rather quickly and comment as I go along. This is one of the homes. The whole area has been designed according to Vastu principles, and there's an open well. Here also we don't have any electricity out of choice. We're very much in the interior, about 5 kilometers from the main road. And even to reach the place, it is, it's becoming a little bit better now, but before it was a whole endeavor just to go there. This is a library that we opened 3 years ago, 2005. And this is inside the temple. Every day the devotees, they gather. These are all Indonesian devotees. A majority come from Hindu background, but we also have devotees who were previously Muslim in Indonesia. As you may know, the vast majority are following Islam, but they're quite, it's not like a major thing to change over. Every week the devotees have panikram carrying. We have the worships Sri Sri Radha, Madame Gopal, and Sisi Gauri Thai, along with Varna Shankadev, some of the children, and the Kutir. Every residence is on a plot of 50 by 25 meters. We have a small school called the Gopal Kindergarten and playground. Some of the children, again, photo in the temple. About
3 hours from this place, we have, it's in the city, we have a youth hostel. Actually, all the devotees who are heading up this project were previously students at this youth hostels, and they are now the panchayat members. We grow various things. This is corn. We grow our own rice. We're not at all self-sufficient. I mean, not fully self-sufficient, but working towards it. So the roads are divided, and they have been named. These are the roads around the temple, according to the four major temples in India: north, Badrikashram, and east, Jagannath Puri, etc. And various buildings. We have a few cows. They're kept by individual devotees. Again, to photo inside. Every year we have a reunion. Of course, this is possibly Gopurima Purima time. Many devotees come from other places around the island of Sumatra. So devotees, they keep their own gardens. In addition to the residential area, which is about, let's say, 20 hectares, another 20 hectares is a farming area, and another 20 hectares about is a forest area. This is Garuda. We constructed that year, actually, our own Jankyashala. This is a temple. And on the side, actually, we also have Brahmashringi Maharaja, who will have darshan, a photo. This is the Gopal Kindergarten. This is the Parikram. Very green there, of course, in the rainy season. This was Gokrishna here. Who is serving now in Chopati? He happened to visit 1 year. Plus, these are our meetings that we have every week, our panchayat members, different activities, jankyas, a lot of marriage jankyas, and name ceremony, name giving ceremony. Very, if you ever visit Indonesia, Bali especially, or any other place where there are traditional activities, you'll see a lot of decorations, a lot of fruits.
What are the red fruits?
Lychee.
Oh, yeah.
The rambutan.
Oh, rambutan, yeah, right.
Oh, rambutan.
Oh, you don't know rambutan.
This one. This got starch.
Is it the tafai?
No.
How's the tafai, my
God? Oh, is it? Maybe by chance I went to the end.
Yeah.
Je peux remonter. Okay. On n'a pas vu cela.
Ben c'est ça, je remonte.
Non, mais non, on peut commencer d'un bout.
Ben c'est ça que je fais. Je replace sous
les. Non, mais non, ça commence d'un bout. On regarde les photos. Hein.
Ah, ok. Ok. Alors, ouais.
Ok. Alors, c'est lequel là? Which one?
Oh.
I mean, non, c'est ça. This one, hein?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Gopurima. In our community, like in any community, I suppose, you know, some devotees are artistic and others are musicians, so whatever one is inclined for, they're encouraged to engage in those activities. So we have children, most of our population, most of our devotees are quite young, of course, but we do have a few elders, one grandfather and grandmother there also. This was a picture. This is Tejas Guru. Some of you know him. He had given a seminar, I believe, on ashram. So he came actually three times on two occasions to give some seminar on self-sufficiency, very much appreciated by the devotees, and then the small children also appreciated his presence because he was giving us a nice prasadam. We just built a school last year, actually, and we have many of our devotees who are graduates, who are qualified teachers. They're teaching some of them in local villages, and with the new school that we constructed, we have our own teachers teaching our own children, which is ideal and what we should all be endeavoring to do. These are some of the children, some of the residents. So some of the, you know, some of the homes are built very simply, most of them are actually very simply, out of wood. A few of them are made of brick also.
What's the relationship with the government?
Good. They're very impressed actually with what we're doing there. And now we, since about a year ago, we were officially recognized as, what is called in Indonesia, Dusun. Dusun is like part of the village. So we have official recognition. And the government is officially appointing, we could say the leader of our village. And we're all registered actually with the government. We're able to get some subsidies, some rights at reduced price, things like that. We have a very good relationship with the local authorities. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam Vana. This is one project around our property. Our property, I mean, to walk around it is about a good 3 to 4 hours. And we planted 1,000 trees, fruit trees. And one can actually take, you know, walk around and representing the 1,000 name of Vishnu. Not all of this is successful. I mean, the trees, most of the trees are still there, but it's during the dry season, it's a whole endeavor to look after or maintain the trees. So these projects are long-term projects. Some things devotees pick up quickly, understand quickly. Other things, it takes longer. When we go around, actually, with the deities, we stop in front of each home. The devotees, they offer arati, and then they offer whatever they grow from their gardens. This was the Jagyashala. And, Jagyashringadeva Bhagavan Ki. This was, actually, we have two deities of Jagyashringadeva. This is a smaller one. We have a larger one at another project in Puncak, close to Jakarta. This was carved by a Muslim, believe it or not. These are some of our kids. That's a picture in the book, man.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, this was unintentional. Can you just say? Strings. Still has a few things to pick up regarding Tilak. This is our kitchen inside the temple. Our different devotees, different residents.
How long has that project been going on?
Since 1999. So next year we'll be celebrating. These are twins. Chaitanya Haribhu. But the devotees, they enact, unfortunately, that the life was not very good, but they have dramas occasionally. It really brings in or attracts everybody. I'll just go through this very quickly. As mentioned earlier, Sisi Radha Gopal on the right, and Sisi Komitai on the left.
Do you speak local English, Maharaj?
Visa. Visa.
Do you speak local?
Can. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this was one of our supporters from Jakarta, where the Indian families are there. He helped very much with the Sri Vishnu Sahasranama project and the opening of the library. We're offering him a set of the Bhagavatam. I'd like to finish here. There's another short video that I'd like to bring up. This is Indonesia, and more recently we are trying to do something in Cambodia. I just want to show you a PowerPoint on Yashodapur. Cambodia is a new frontier. One of my godbrothers, we saw earlier, the Bhakti Ramta Eco Village, has been opening up the area of Cambodia, and both himself and myself are involved in trying to introduce. Well, Krishna consciousness has already been there Angkor Wat. Anyone knows a little bit about Cambodia? Cambodia used to be This is something we're going to be talking about, let's see, the day after tomorrow, especially for UNESCO. In Cambodia, we are not yet registered as ISKCON Society, and we are finalizing our registration under what is called the Global Varnashram Educational, Social, Cultural Organization, which will be an NGO. There are many NGOs. Cambodia is a place where I guess maybe 350 NGOs are there, non-government organizations, which it's very difficult to register a religious organization. There's a lot of red tape involved. And Cambodia at present is like 95% Buddhist. So they're very strict regulations. You have to have your own book, main book of knowledge or teaching already translated in the Khmer local language and approved by the Buddhist monks. That's a whole trick. So we decided to go this way, and so now actually we're having two NGOs headed by, one is headed by Tata Darshan Prabhu and the other one by myself. This is basically the scene.
Space bar.
Huh?
Yeah, just space bar.
Okay. So it's basically something we're presenting to different people, different organizations. Some of the Indian community I presented to a few weeks ago before coming here to India. The reason I'm presenting this is actually we're in the process of acquiring some land, but in this presentation I'm giving an overview of some other projects. So through this project you'll see some good things of other projects in Indonesia and also South India, which we haven't seen yet. Some we've seen a little bit, but anyways, it'll be very quick. In the beginning, I'll go just quickly here because it's like an introductory thing, giving some background information, and we go a little bit into detail, but we won't do that right now. Some background information, what is the objectives, what are the objectives of the project, etc., etc. So, this is just a very, Yashodapur, this is interesting to mention, actually many years ago, or during the time of Angkor Wat, we go back like to the 12th century, when Angkor Wat was constructed, there was a whole period between the 8th and the 14th century, where the whole of Cambodia, you know, some 200 major temples, the most prominent of which is called Angkor Wat, which is the largest Hindu temple, Vishnu temple, larger than any temple here in India, stands today, and it is presently this area of Angkor Wat, known as the a very popular place. A lot of foreigners come to visit. So, we are planning to have a project close or within the vicinity, within the province of Siem Reap, which is where Angkor Wat is located. And anyway, this is just explaining some things that all of our devotees are understanding already. And we're affiliated with different organizations, which I mentioned here. Basically, I won't take the time to get into details. The last one is interesting. It's a local NGO headed by a monk. We made friends with him, and we're going to be working cooperatively. We are situated right behind his pagoda. Pagoda is like a Buddhist temple, and he has land in different places. Anyways, he's very interested. He's already visited and spent some time here in India. We all know this, basically, you know, the whole reason why we're doing this. We'll come back to this education thing later on. I'm going a little bit quick here because I just want to come to the section where we have photos explaining about other projects. Kind of don't mind. Yeah, references. I think you can recognize some of these sources. Just read it real quick. No comment necessary. Objectives. Well, we can all understand. We have something very concrete. I don't have the time to get into the details. If somebody's interested, of course, I'm going to be happy to tell you more about it. We have a 3-year pilot project which will extend to probably 12 years to manifest pilot project which we want to introduce in other provinces of Cambodia. It's all based on what we've been talking about so far. So this is part of the presentation. These are, well, we call them success stories. Hopefully one day they'll be full success, but the very fact that they're existing and some things are happening, it's that in itself is a success, you know, to some extent. So we'll just be seeing some photos of these. I'll go quickly. The first one is what I showed a few minutes ago, Gita Nagari in Indonesia. And you've seen these photos before, basically, so this gives you a little idea. That was 200 acres and, yeah, production, etc. The latest being the school that we built. And there's a few more quick photos, but you've seen that. The next project, Nagokundan, we've also seen, so I'll just go quickly. The year status is 203, right? Yeah, so I have to correct a few things like that. And basically we've covered Nagokundan. Yeah. So one project here is, we haven't shown anything, is a relatively new project started in year 2005. Called the Krishna Balaram Kshetra. That is about 30 kilometers north of Udupi, and we have 15 acres of land, about 14 devotees, 8 cows, and we're endeavoring to grow our own products. Your pictures there, it's a great thing. Yeah, right there. So some of the local products, this is, it used to be a yoga camp actually. Project, and now it's being turned into a Hare Krishna project. This is Balaram. We were talking about Balaram yesterday. Balaram and Subhadra becoming a little bit bigger. This is a well, open well that we have constructed last year, actually. We also have seen about Karnataka, Bhaktivinoda Eco Village. So I'll just jump on this real quickly. And this is another one in Indonesia, which we haven't spoken about. This is a larger project of, on the island of Kalimantan, established in year 2003, about 200 acres. It's still in the beginning stage. We have maybe 3 families, no cows. It's not possible to have cows at present because of the situation. But the main production there is rice. You'll see in a few seconds. In 1 hectare, I think they have 3 tons of rice every year. Very, very green. A few more pictures and we'll just wind it up here. Yeah. You have to go, you can probably go there by boat.
It's very watery kind of land, that's why it's called Ganga Sagar.
Yeah. So anyway, I think this is not necessary because we already discussed about that. Maybe we have some lights on, possibly. Is there anyone else who would like to present or briefly talk about some other projects that they're involved in?
Anybody here from a different, maybe Radhadesh? Who is here? Radhadesh?
Yeah, Radhadesh. Prabhu? Would you like to mention a few? Yeah, because many people may not know about me. I've never been there. And just a few minutes, can you possibly mention something? Please.
Give us the mercy, though.
It kind of, yeah.
That's okay. I mean, you must know your stuff. But. Yeah.
So historically, this came from Amsterdam Temple, although Randis is built in Dutch and Amsterdam is in Holland. They were looking for a place, place in the country, a farm, and then it was, they couldn't find it in Holland, and they went to the northern part of Belgium. They couldn't find it there either, and I went to the southern part of Belgium, which is different language, French speaking. And there they found a place which was suitable as a farm. And then these devotees moved there, that was in 80. And then it was developed, but it was developed not so much as a farm, although in the beginning we did have 9 cows and some biological culture of vegetables was taking place. But then, because it was in a touristic area, so the attention was redirected to the preaching, receiving up to at some point 35,000 visitors in 1 year with guided tours, and it's a castle, so it's a nice building, nice surrounded buildings, some park area, and some walking area. And so it was, it developed more like that, because that took care also of the possibility for preaching and also of the economical side. So then automatically the attention, you know, goes to that, to economical reasons and then the possibility for preaching. And so then the cows, they remained there. But gradually there was no milk, there was, you know, the cows were dry, although they were kept there into as pension. And even now there are still cows, although not the first generation, because we are taking care of the cows which came from Dole, from France. So we are hosting them. That's the reason why the cows are still there. But there is very little agriculture is done. It's still very much based on tourism. We have a cafeteria, restaurant, nice boutique. We have a nice guest house. So everything in that sense is very much developed. And then 5 years ago, we started the Bhaktivinoda College, came into the picture. This is a university level of education, which is first 3 years on university level, and that's connected with the University of Cambridge from the UK. So there is an official link, it's an official university, and also the students after 3 years, they get their degree, and with that they can then go and do further studies either by themselves in correspondence study or go to the university in Lampeter or Oxford or whatever they want to go from there, and then they can get their master's like that. So this part of the college is a very interesting project because it fulfills a great need in our society. And it is a different, although rather this is hosting, rather this is not really in charge in the direct sense. So we are the host, but part of the college, they have their own management, they have their own legal setup. The headmaster and the manager of that, they are independent from Pradesh, so to speak, although it's all happening in the same place. In total, we have Pradesh itself has around 70 devotees living there, from which most are householders. Brahmacharis, around the handful of Brahmacharis. Most of the householders or single devotees who want to get married. We do in our project employ a number of householders who get small salary. It's basically a maintenance salary, although it is like an official salary with social allowance, etc. And some devotees live in the project, most of them, but also some devotees have their own house on the outside. We had one book up to a certain moment, like 8-9 years ago, but then we were obliged by the government to pass exams in the French language, and our Gurukul was education was learning in English. So that was difficult for us to change from English to French due to not having teachers that were available, so that we had to stop the Gurukul. And of course now we are in college, which is a higher level of education. There are like 25 students, I think, in the college, and then there are some teachers, staff members. Most teachers are senior devotees in ISKCON who are not living in Radhades. So what they do, they come either from America or from some other place, and then they give, instead of giving 2 hours a week or something, a course, they give 1 week or 10 day long course, full day, or I don't know, 5-6 hours, 4 hours a day, and in this way they can come there, give their course, and then the rest is happening by correspondence. Students are writing their essays, sending them, they are corrected, etc. So that's the principle of that's how we can, because we don't have, we have very few teachers who are living in Radhades. Most of them are, they are devotees like Shesha Prabhu or Indraswaru Prabhu. Because most teachers, in order, since it's university level, for the accredited courses, you need devotees need to have PhD in order to be able to deliver the studies. So that's a little bit of a problem.
Does anyone have any questions about anything in the last few minutes? Comments?
How's it related to this Oxford? This is like Oxford and the number
obviously in any international project would focus on all the different monks and ashrams.
but it's depending on who's starting it up at the beginning, with the challenges that they have to face, etc., etc., they're, you know, acting accordingly.
And also what we're trying to achieve by things like the seminar and, you know, setting up various network is that we actually to try to branch and network all those projects so that, you know, various areas of expertise can be exchanged between devotees. Like, for example, now that Nyugoku Dhamma studies so many things, when I want to learn about motherhouses and Carol medicine, I don't need to go to all the institute that they went to learn these things, because I just go to Nyugoku Dhamma, I guess, one-stop solution for me to learn already so many technologies which I can bring back to the Bhaktivinoda Thakur village. So to bring it to the next level, what we're realizing, we're going to need some very, and that's actually the topic of this book, we're going to need some very specialized educational program. We need to train brahmanas so that brahmanas can train all the ashrams, basically. So that's, you know, so we can have qualified kshatriyas, qualified vaishya, or really understand farming and different arts and crafts. And of course, a lot of this has to be adapted in, according to the country. I mean, if you're going to farm in Canada, it's very different than if you're going to farm in the tropics. But, you know, especially for, you know, India, and we're trying to do something, especially in Asia and around the world as well. And India is the place where everybody comes, so it's kind of important.
Just possibly very, very quickly, a small comment in relation to the question. One of the objectives, and that will become more apparent in our discussions on the fourth day of our seminar, is that with various, even though there's a lot more that can or should be happening in regards to Varnashram development in different countries around the world, even what is happening right now, as we're getting a little small glimpse right now, is there's a necessity to develop, for example, a kind of Varnashrama directory, and to provide information, to provide opportunities for devotees who would like to take up certain aspects of Varnashrama or learn or know more about, etc., like that. So, as was mentioned a few seconds ago by Sangha Prabhu, at present it seems, I think it's fair to say that pretty well all that what is happening in different countries are individual, you know, projects which are not really so much connected with one another. Not that they have to be also, but there is, I would say, a need for bringing about some kind of coordination possibly, and offering some services that can help in different ways both projects and individuals who would like to be involved or who would like to get some training, whether it's in this particular ashram or that ashram, like that. This is a whole area that we hope to address actually in the fourth day of our seminar. As a matter of fact, there's a book we were hoping it would be ready to present during this four-day seminar, entitled, actually there's two books. One is entitled Global Varnashram or Implementing Varnashram, because any of us who have been speaking about Varnashram understand that, well, it's one thing to theorize about Varnashram, how do you put it into practice? And that's like the big question that we have I was in our society that we're not understanding that so much, and one of the reasons we have these kind of gatherings is to try and address this. So the logical sequence of our seminar this year here in Mayapur is to present these different aspects, and tomorrow, just to remind everyone, we will be focusing on education, and as of tomorrow, this book will be available as well, the Varnashram Education. A lot of what we will be speaking about is actually taken from this book. And today was mainly about Varnashram. We've seen different Varnashram projects and heard about the importance of cows and men. So we're going to be combining and, you know, winding up on the fourth day. Well, okay, what do we do with all this? And we have some from our side, those of us who are presenting the conference or the seminar, we have some concrete proposals to bring to all of you. And we also would like to receive and hear from you as to how we can go ahead with the whole, you could say, Varnashram mission. It is a mission, actually, in itself, so to speak. So I believe, yeah, we're over time. We'd like to thank all the devotees who have come, especially those who are possibly newly attending our session in the afternoon. The afternoon session, you can just spread the information. It's open to everybody. And we will continue tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on the topic of education. Jai Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
So Sister Does he require any material like does he have any power to himself?
I'm not sure, he might do. I'll ask him to bring it in. It's just a matter of
or if he has material to present pictures, attach pictures.
I don't know what he's got. We're just going to talk about curriculum, so I guess he wasn't thinking of bringing any, but maybe he has some pictures. I'll ask him.